councillors. Welcome to council meeting Wednesday the 16th of June 2021. This meeting is being webcast and those in attendance should refrain from making any defamatory statements. Item one on the business paper, apologies and requests for leave of absence. Do we have any?
For the next workshop and the next council meeting.
So that's Councillor Reynolds. Reynoldson will be a apology.
Matt Hanson, Director of Corporate Services. I've had notices of apology from Councillor Bruce and from Councillor Morris for this meeting. And Councillor Bruce for, no, just for this, and Councillor Bruce for the extraordinary meeting next week.
Mm-hmm. Somebody like to move that? Councillor Jones, second. Councillor Taylor, all those in favour, against, that's carried, thank you. Item two on the business paper, declarations of items of pecuniary or other interest. Do we have any? Item three, visitors. We've already had the Murray River Police District Inspector, Paul Huggett, and a private developer, Peter Cullen. Item four, confirmation of the minutes, recommendation of the minutes of the meeting being held in the council chambers on Wednesday, the 19th of May, 2021, to be confirmed. Can I have a mover and a seconder? Councillor Taylor, second. Councillor Glanville, any comment? Put the recommendation. All those in favour, against, that's carried. Thank you. Item five, mayoral minute. Don't have any. Item six, notice of motions. Don't have any. Item seven, items for resolution. 7.1, financial accounts. Recommendation that the council receive the financial statement, bank reconciliation certificate and petty cash book made up to the 31st of May 2021. Confirm the accounts paid as warrant number 05/21 totalling $3,483,897.99. And note the report on the investment attached in appendix 7.1-A. Can I have a mover and a seconder? Or Councillor Taylor, second. Councillor Reynoldson. Any comment from the...
Mainly as written, Mr Mayor. I guess sometimes of interest to council is on page 8, when we reinvest our term deposits. So with Goulburn Murray, we're getting 1.3% per annum. Reinvestment, we're getting 0.4. Hence why we're looking at alternatives.
Mm. Just a question to that. With the... the word of inflation and you know, America looking like they're going to increase rates. Do we have any, from our expert advice, do we have any indication of when we think we will start to see some of those returns or start to see the dial move the other way?
I guess how long's a piece of string? I was reading something in today's paper saying that the Reserve Bank of Australia is not looking at moving anything until 2024, but again, that will depend on what happens.
That's all determined on wage growth and inflation. Mm-hmm. That's what the RBA's done.
So, yeah, my understanding is there are some inflationary pressures now. You were talking, there's been some discussion about, especially in housing, where there's a shortage of timber and other building supplies. It's starting to push prices up. How that reflects as whether that's just a bottleneck or an economy-wide restraint, I don't know.
Food's the other one too, isn't it? I know my strawberries went from $4 to $8.
Those people growing lambs are probably doing quite well, the prices too.
All right, all those in favour, against, carried, thank you. 7.2, take a more speed zone changes. That the council support the recommendation to reduce the speed limits on Bruce Birrell Drive, Hunter Drive and Keogh Drive to 50 kilometres an hour and part of Burma Road, part of Houston's Road and Babington Road to 80 kilometres an hour as indicated in Appendix 7.2-A and Appendix 7.2-B. I'll have a mover and a seconder. Councillor Glanville, second. Councillor Jones, do we have any comment?
No.
No comment? Put the recommendation. All those in favour? Against? Thank you. That's carried. 7.3, event funding application, Tokemoor Air Show. The recommendation that the council allocate $10,000 from its event funding program to the 2021 Tokemoor Air Show. Can I have a mover and a seconder? Councillor Taylor, second. Councillor Bodie. Any comment?
No.
Make a comment?
No. It's a very, it's
a very simple story that with the success of the air show 2 years ago, we support it on to ongoing success.
And let's hope that September...
Time will tell.
There is no issues at all.
Everyone get vaccinated.
Everyone will, yeah, well, that's right. All right, put the recommendation. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. 7.4, open parachute program. So we have a report here regarding expressing interest in supporting the open parachute program to be rolled out through our local schools. This is something that Councillor Morris fully supports. Unfortunately, he's unwell today and is not here to speak to it. I'm happy to speak to it in his absence and say that I think that this is something that, you know, especially through our high schools and our primary schools, there's enough of them in our area to identify pretty much all of those issues that this program does identify with. And I think it's something that's worthy of our support. I know it's outside of our normal business. However, we have in the past, through our Youth Development Committee, supported these sort of functions through school-based programs. And I'm suggesting that we go down that line again. Anybody else want to make any comments?
Can I ask a question, Mr. Mayor? How do we determine if this has been successful or not? I've never having anything to do with these sort of projects before. How do we determine after it's all happened whether it's a good investment or
not? Yeah, well, generally through the Youth Development Committee, and Councillor Glanville can add anything to it if he feels he'd like to as well. Obviously, exposure, being in a rural remote community, exposure to these different organisations that come through our communities is one. Two is obviously, you know, seeing the development of our young leaders. And I know this program is probably a little bit different to that, but in the past, seeing our young leaders and sending them away and seeing what they've been able to implement, whether it's in their community or their school community as well. I don't think you can put a dollar figure on it, but I think you can put I was
more interested in the social yeah. Outcomes rather
yeah,
than
yeah, no,
that's
outcomes. What I'm saying. So obviously, you know, trying to encourage that next group of leaders. I mean, most schools have SRCs or, you know, student representative councils. What we've been able to do, Councillor Glanville, in the past, I mean, being able to send people to international children's games, being able to expose the greater community of the school to leadership programs outside of their normal school SRC, where they probably have one or two reps from each year. I think it's been a great success over a long period of time.
To be fair, if this was presented to the Youth Development Committee, it probably would have been ticked off on. And as we no longer. But, yeah, I thought you were right too. I think there's still some money.
Yeah, I think there is, yeah.
And just to expand that a little bit, you know, at the moment we've been talking about the social issues and where, you know, we're on the axis away from the hub, which is either Albury or... and have we got an appetite to do more of this sort of stuff? As in, you know, how do we encourage social work? Because there's no social workers in the Shire. How do we get some here?
There was a group in Berrigan that have done a bit of work around that, led by or worked through CWA and a mentoring program for young people in Berrigan that were disengaged from the high school. And it was also driven, or one of the people that was involved in it was the principal, the then principal of Savanac School. I believe Savanac School's not.
It's closed. It's folding very soon. It's
from my point of view, I think there is an appetite for it in there.
No, I'm not talking about in the community. I'm talking about around this table.
No, that's what I'm saying. From my point of view, I believe there is an appetite for doing more of this stuff. Just that, you know, the biggest thing, and we've met with Interreaches and we had the. I can't think of what her position was, but the top of the tree that came down and spoke to us and that. And they, whilst they'll do what they do, they don't do anything outside of the square. And I'd like Joe in here to be, because Joe's done a fair bit of work around this stuff.
To Matt, have we got a policy on this sort of stuff?
So no, we don't.
What would it fit under?
We don't.
take a step back. You're right, Councillor Reynoldson. One of our issues is, given where we are, we tend to be serviced by outreach workers who have come from Albury or Denny or Wagga or Shepparton. There's no one, pretty much any service, who's based here, and that has been an underlying condition of where we sit geographically. And certainly I know that's one of Joe's big frustrations, is no one actually comes here and actually gets established in our area addressing our social concerns. In terms of how you, if council had an appetite to look at going more down the social route, that's certainly an option available to you. You're about to review your community strategic plan, and that would be the place to bring that up. And certainly when you do your consultation with the community, if you're hearing that that's what the community is looking for, and that's what you and the new council are looking for, that's where that would come in. You get it into the community strategic plan, and then it'll get into delivery programs, then you'll start to think about how you're going to fund it.
Mm.
Or at least if you're going to do more of an advocacy role, I believe, some background to advocate.
I believe Edward River, there was stuff in the local paper about 8 months ago about what Edward River had been doing around it as well. And that actually employ somebody, or?
They used some of the Stronger Country Communities money, or one of those, might have been the drought support money anyway. They used some of that money to employ a social worker.
That's right.
That was an option that we had available to us, and
we just didn't.
We went down a different avenue, which most other councils did too.
Yeah.
In terms of this resolution, Mr. Mayor, perhaps if just to address again Councillor Reynolds's point about having some feedback on the success or otherwise, you could make it conditional on someone from the school, whether the students are not coming back and talking to you about the difference it's made.
I'm sure, and that's what we used to do through the Youth Development Committee, is when we gave money out, whether it was grants or whether it was individual funding, we would ask them as part of that to come back and give us a report. And I'm sure that the school captains at the high school would be more than welcome to come back and do that if that's something, a condition.
Now, should we put a dollar figure on?
Well,
go for it.
Yes, go again. Director of Corporate Services.
Or you might want to say perhaps something along the lines of a donation of up to, and put a cap on it perhaps, donation of up to, with funding coming from the Youth Development Fund, something along those lines, and subject to a report coming back from the schools participating on the success or otherwise of the project.
Could I move a number of up to 10 grand? Does that work?
I'd second.
Okay. So, Councillor Reynolds, just want to read out that you want to do there.
Well, I
support.
Do I move a motion?
Yeah.
Do I move a motion to say we should support the open parachute program to be rolled out in the local schools to a value of up to $10,000 as deemed necessary.
Move Councillor Reynoldson, second Councillor.
Do you have
and I'm assuming that's a per annum fact.
Reporting
per annum
back.
Amount,
oh, yeah. And we'd like to a report back of some form just to let us know what's actually happened.
Yep, okay.
Sorry.
Councillor. Is that a.
Taylor wanted to know if it was going to be a per annum or a rolling or just a one off. Whatever the movement is, what does the movement a second to think of that idea? I don't know how long the program runs for.
I'm talking for 1 year because it's only talking 1 year. Okay, we haven't, when they come back again, it's a private foundation. They might exist next year.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
Yeah, no, I'm happy with that. Happy to second that one.
Yeah, so Councillor Taylor seconds support up to $10,000 for the open parachute program. Any further comment around it? Anyone else like to talk against the motion? Wouldn't think so. All those in favour? Against? Carried. Thank you. 7.5, development application, recommend new dwelling and attached garage. Recommendation, development application 184-21-DA-D5 for a brick veneer dwelling and attached garage be approved subject to the following. Can I have a mover and a seconder, and we call for a division as well? Move Councillor Taylor, second Councillor Bodie. Do you want to make any comment, acting development manager?
Look, it's probably, like I said, it's just a minor set back to that clause on that DCP, and it's going to have no impact on the streetscape, given where it is.
Yeah. I call for a division. All those in favour of the application? Against? Carried unanimously. You said 2 o'clock, didn't you, Councillor Jones?
What was that?
2 o'clock.
7-6, Murray Regional Tourism Board. Recommendation the Council agree to the Murray Regional Tourism 2021-2024 Partnership Council's funding agreement. Have a mover and a seconder. Councillor Taylor, second. Councillor Bodie. Hear that? Any comment?
Sorry,
one at a time.
Councillor Glanville, did we get feedback during the year, like from Mark Francis? Do we get much back? I mean, I think it's worthwhile, to be honest. But there's been an absence of meetings and.
Do all councillors get the updates that they send out?
I do not know.
I do.
You do? Yeah, okay. So maybe we just get someone to make sure that email's going out, because that's monthly, I think.
Yeah.
Like, very active through COVID, they were. Yeah. Extremely,
yeah.
You know, adversarial for us. And actually probably held a bit of sway at the table for this, for our patch as well.
Yep.
I mean... Yeah, go on.
Comment, Mr. Mayor. So I sat in on a telephone or a Zoom meeting with Mark Francis from Murray Regional Tourism Board and some of the other CEOs in the region. The message that we heard from Mark Francis was they're doing a lot, and I think we all accepted that. There was some feedback given to Mark that perhaps MRTB need to do a better job reporting back to councils about what they actually do, because... Mm. While we could see it as staff, and certainly the mayors were involved could see it, that information wasn't necessarily getting down to the council level. So there is a commitment from MRTV to provide more information on the value they're adding to councils, so that can be distributed to council laws.
And they used to come once a quarter too, but they probably got to a position where they thought that they were, you know.
Yeah, and so the other thing that's of interest to me, Councillor Glanville again, is that... Didn't we raise the amount from 7,000 to 14 only 2 years ago?
No, it had been 5 years ago.
5 years ago.
5 year agreement.
I've been around here too long.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay.
Sorry, Councillor Rounds.
My only problem with it is, like, everyone says they're doing a good job at the moment, which is, yeah, they are. But, you know, they've gone up 43% in 1 year. They're doing a good job. Why do they need another 43%? Sounds a bit like empire building to me. And I don't know, there's no justification why they need another 43% here rather than we want it.
Wasn't there some pushback from Victoria about what they were funding?
No, not from Victoria, from New South Wales. Victoria's been very supportive, New South Wales less so. Although we did manage... New South Wales wanted to pull their funding altogether. The Victorian government and MRTB managed to convince them to at least put some of the funding back in, but not all of it. That said, that burden, that shortfall, is being shared across both sides of the river. New South Wales isn't just accepted.
The shortfall, the 43% is made up of what the state government wasn't paying. Is that what you're saying?
Some of it's just made up of the fact that... what they're being asked to do is requiring more resources, which, again, perhaps it's empire building, perhaps it's delivering
the council only gets 2% more a year,
yes,
as in fans or whatever else, and they want 43. It's a fair whack.
Yeah, it is. And to be honest, Destination New South Wales throw a peanut, mm-hmm, as opposed to what Victorian Tourism put into it.
Yep.
Like, it's a million to 40 grand or something. Like, it's astronomical, a difference. Like, it's, I don't know how much it's gone to now, but... But they did agree to, well, when Austin Evans was still our member, they had an unwritten agreement they were going to support it for the next 3 years. So mm-hmm, that review's probably come up now. Mm. And they've in principle said they're going to support it again for the next 3 years, or 5 years, sorry.
Four,
okay. So my theory around this was, okay, whilst we might be putting in a little bit more, it's imperative that Destination New South Wales were supporting it, otherwise it just falls over from a cross-border thing. So, you know, understanding that we've had to increase our commitment. But what I will say is that we do have... So Kevin Mack's on the board. It used to be Des Bilski. He was on the board. Now it's Kevin Mack. So we've got a councillor on the board. I was approached at some stage to go on that board as to be able to report back and push stuff from council's point of view, because they're all industry and business, obviously, that are around that board. But there is, and I think Ramjo are squaring, or Kev Mack squaring, to make sure that there is a representation on that board from the council level going forward. So that'll also be able to, you know, keep them to account a bit more, I'd say.
Anyway, just let them know we've got our eye on them.
Yeah, right. I'll tell them.
They are well aware, Councillor Reynoldson. At meeting I sat in with Mark Francis and the other New South Wales CEOs, they were well and truly put on notice that we can't continue to sustain this level of increase indefinitely.
No.
But as the Mayor said, my personal view is it's imperative from a strategic perspective that we retain a cross-border tourism body, because if that goes, we're stuck with Destination Riverina Murray, which is very much Murrumbidgee focused and doesn't work cross-border at all.
So how much money do we put into that one? Zero.
So Matt, have we got this in our budget, you know, this sort of thing?
You'll need to make an adjustment, yes.
We're doubling, you know,
you'll need to make an adjustment to your budget, yes.
I'm just enjoying the sound of it because I've not heard that rain that heavy for a very long time.
Don't get excited, it's only light, that's the roof. It's not that heavy.
All right, so we have a mover and a seconder. Sorry, she did want to speak, Councillor Brady, sorry.
Yeah, I just think that with our level of tourism in the Berrigan Shire, certainly with Baruga and Tokemal, we need to support the Murray Regional Tourism Board. It's one of those overall things. It's hard to argue sometime what benefit you get out of it, but they work in the long term, and I think that's what you get more than what you see at the end of the day. And politically, grant-wise, government-wise, cross-border-wise, every otherwise, you have no choice but be a member of this organisation. That doesn't take away from the fact that 40% deserves me too, Roger. But we need to be there because our tourism component is only going to grow.
Right, all those in favour, against, that's carried, thank you. Thinking that the afternoon activities might be postponed.
He will pray.
Well, it's very, very dark out our way. 7-7, tender. TO1-21-22, annual plan higher rates for 2021-2022 financial year. That the council accept all compliant tenders for 2021-2022 financial year for TO1-21-22 annual plan higher rates and sign and seal the contract documents. Moving to second, I should have done them as a whole, sorry. Councillor Taylor, second, Councillor Reynoldson, all those in favour, against, carried, thank you. 7-8, tender for supply of quarry products for 21-22 financial year. Again, the council accept all compliant tenders for 2021-2022 financial year for tender TO2-21-22, supply of quarry products and sign and seal the documents. There you go. Moving to seconder, Councillor Bodie, second Councillor Taylor, all those in favour, against, carried. 7-9, tender TO3, supply of electrical services for 2021-2022 financial year. Again, that the council accept all compliant tenders for 21-22 financial year for TO3-21-22 supply of electrical services to be on a panel of approved contractors and sign and seal all the documents. All those in favour? Sorry, Councillor Bodie, Councillor Taylor. All those in favour? Against, carried, thank you. For the prosperity of our farming community as opposed to missing out on one day of recreation activity, I'm sure you'll take it.
No,
7-10, development applications. 189, 21 DA, DM, proposed demolition of Tokemal Motel, 11 Murray Street, Tokemal. Recommendation, development application, as mentioned above, for the proposed demolition of Tokemal Motel be approved subject to the following. Mover and a seconder. Councillor Bodie, yeah. Second. Frankton the left, Councillor Glanville. Any comment?
I can make a couple of comments if you like, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, if you just speak up in your normal voice.
I'll do my best to get talk over the wonderful sound of the rain. So, Council has gone and prepared a statement of heritage impact to come along with this development. That statement found that while the motel buildings are in the heritage zone, they didn't significantly contribute to the heritage value of the zone. What it does say, though, is there's a condition in the recommendation there that says the proponent must prepare a heritage archival recording, including photographic recording of the structures identified for demolition. So we will do that work before it's demolished. Other than that, the only other comment I'd make is this has been out on public notification, and during the notification period, Council received zero objections.
And just to clarify, across all streams of media as well, was it? Like, it was on our socials as
well? It was
well.
On our socials, it was on our website, it was advertised in the local paper.
We have a move in a second. Any further comment? Put the recommend. All those in favour? Against? Carried, thank you.
You'll need a division, Matt.
Sorry, yeah, we do need a division, sorry. All those in favour? Unanimous. It's a bit hard to hear myself think over there, Councillor Jones.
Can't hear you.
7-Eleven.
That is
lifting at 7-Eleven.
A little bit of insulation.
Somebody like to move, we suspend standing orders till the rain goes.
There we go.
7-Eleven lifting alcohol free zone restrictions, Good Times Festival.
So before we look at this, Mr. Mayor, if I could just say that New South Wales Police have been in contact with the
What we'll do is we'll just suspend standing orders for 5 minutes because it's a bit hard to hear each other think. Somebody like to move that? Councillor Adelson?
No.
Second, Councillor Bowden. You got enough, yep. All right, somebody like to move we resume standing orders? Councillor Jones, Councillor Glanville. All those in favour? Against? Carried. That was the first. So we were at...
7-11.
We were going 7-11 and we had... You were explaining. You just want to go again? Director of Corporate Services.
Just okay. At least I can hear myself talk now. Since in the interim between this report being written and the agenda being issued to the councils and public, the police have been in contact with the proponents of the event and suggested that it be withdrawn, the proposal with the alcohol-free zone, on the basis that it would be very difficult to police given the competing liquor licensing arrangements in Deniliquin Street during the event, which the proponent has agreed to. Is it a big deal? Perhaps, you know, it's probably not going to affect the event in any real way. It just means you won't be able to take an empty vessel of alcohol from one licensed venue to another, which is probably not appropriate anyway.
Yeah. All right, so somebody like to move, we just note the report. Councillor Bodie, second Councillor Reynoldson. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. 7-12, tree removal, Drillery Street, North Tokemoor. Recommendation that the Council perform the works as recommended in the Arborist report included as 7.1-A. Mover and seconder? Councillor Glanville, second Councillor Taylor. Any comments? All those in favour? Against? Carried. 7-13, request for assistance, Hoofs 2000 Inc. The recommendation is that Council inform Hoofs 2000 Inc. that it is unable to meet its request to grade its internal lane as work in kind. Somebody like to move that? Councillor Reynoldson, second Councillor Taylor. Any comments? You'd like to make any comments, Director of Corporate Services?
Only that it It does fall outside our request for donations and financial assistance policy and probably sets a precedent that we wouldn't want to follow. I'm also not sure in terms of our works crew, with the works they've got going on at the moment, whether they could be diverted to do that sort of work in the short term anyway.
Okay. But, yep, all right. All those in favour? Against? Carried. Thank you. 7.14, request for financial assistance, Victorian Acrobatic Championships. Recommendation that the council inform the Australian Aerobatic Club, Victoria Chapter, AACVC, that the council will not waiver the Tokemoor Aerodrome usage fees for the 2021 Victorian Aerobatic Championships.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, Councillor Glanville, I agree with that. I think what this really is doing is it's not supporting an event, it's subsidising the participants.
Okay, so you're happy to move the recommendation?
Yes.
Councillor Glanville, second. Councillor Taylor. Any further comment? All those in favour? Against? Carried. 7.15, New South Wales Rural Fire Service Assets. Recommendation that the council maintain its position of not bringing the assets controlled by New South Wales Rural Fire Service to account in its financial statements. Write to the Minister for Local Government, the Minister for Police and Emergency Services and the Member for Murray to inform them that the council's position and seeking advice on how the Department of Planning, Industry and Environment came to hold the position that the New South Wales Rural Fire Service does not control rural firefighting equipment.
Director of Corporate Services, what's the obligatory impact of either not doing it or doing it? Do we?
Okay. So if we choose not to do it, at this stage, the advice that the audit office is telling us is they will, at a minimum, include in their report to the government and in their report to council that we have an unadjusted audit difference. In other words, they'll be saying that we've made a mistake and putting it in writing.
Right. Okay.
That's the best case. The worst case, if they decide it's material, then they can qualify our statements, which is obviously a serious matter.
Yep. Sure.
I don't think that the numbers involved are that significant that would lead to an audit qualification, but it is a risk. Previous general managers of you, if they qualify them, they qualify them. They need to be our statements, but that's a decision, I guess, for the councillors in consultation with the responsible canning officer to make.
Do I have a mover and a seconder? Yeah. Councillor Randleson, Councillor Glanville.
If I could just make one other comment. Yeah. We're working, council staff are working with others in the local government industry to address this. So it's not just us. There are 68 other councils in New South Wales who share our position on this. And we'll be working as part of a collective on this. So we're not standing one out. And I go back to the statement that's in there, Mr. Mayor, if I could.
Mm. It does not control rural
firefighting. The New South Wales Rural Fire Service does not control rural firefighting equipment. We've got a government department literally putting that in writing on the record.
I don't think you guys have ever been asked if they're allowed to deploy a piece of equipment or asked if they're allowed to replace it or maintain it or...
We're not given any... There is a service level agreement. There is a zone level. There is a zone meeting, which we haven't had one for years. But in the main, we're told this is the equipment that we're going to buy. This is the equipment we're going to sell. This is where it's going to be deployed. This is where it's going to go. Technically, under the service level agreement for the zone, if it goes outside the zone, they've got to seek our permission. I know that they don't do that. They take it when there's fires over in the. When there's fire somewhere, they just take the equipment. Is that a problem? Not really. It's their equipment as far as I'm concerned. They can take it, but technically they should be telling us.
I think they should.
We're not in the basis of trying to get in their road. We just don't want to have it in our books.
Yeah. I'm dead certain they don't want us involved anyway. If you ask the local fire brigade,
yeah. No, they want to run
right away from us.
The way any mob organisation is run is they at least control the equipment they use to do their job. Here... And it's all it is the state government wanting to get the depreciation off their books, not ours. The question for us is why the audit office is allowing this to stand. Anyway, we are working with the industry to try and address it. So
taking your point, Councillor Banville, yes, we are somewhat exposed to some risk. It's an industry-wide risk.
I seem to recall last time we didn't even know where it was. Didn't it end up down in Gippsland?
Well, Talia, our responsible accounting officer, every year requests the details of the plant in a sufficient capacity to allow us to value them and bring in our books. And what we get is a spreadsheet with about with the 11 or so items of plant on there, and a rough estimate of what they think it's worth. None of the values that we actually need, which is what was the purchase price, what's its condition, all those sorts of things that you need to actually value an asset. So we have taken a position as well as not having control that we don't have enough information to provide a reasonable assessment of its value.
All right, we have a mover and a seconder. Any further comment? I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour? Again, carried. Items for noting, 8.1 to 8.2 inclusive, be noted and received. Mover and a seconder. Councillor Taylor, Councillor Bodie. 8.1, public service medal. Premier and Cabinet's invited Councillor to nominate if we've got any eligible people.
What's the thought behind this? Never done it before. Why did they decide to do it now?
They do it every year.
Oh, do they?
I guess it's probably Rowan in the past hasn't put it to council. I probably wasn't sure whether he wanted to know or not, so I thought I'd put it up.
Is it applicable only to current serving?
No, there are strict conditions around it, and I'd encourage you, if you're interested, to put an application in to have a good read. But no, you can't. I think the only thing is it can't be awarded posthumously.
Right.
It's for outstanding public
service. And they're very clear that it's not for mere long service. It needs to be that you've had significant impact in the community or in the public
look,
sector.
Yeah, look, and I think that your recommendation to the CEO of Ramjo to nominate James McTavish is a worthy one.
So you'll let us know when we want us to nominate you, Matt?
There's a reason that my hidden agenda.
8.2, development terminations the month of May. I'm waiting.
How many pulls, Mr. Mayor?
Oh, I've got it. There it is.
I was waiting for one.
I knew it was coming. there'll be no uncompliant ones. We know that. That's for sure. No comments there. So I put the items. All those in favour of the items are noting. Against, carried. Thank you. 8.9 committees. We don't have any. 8.9. Item 9 committees. Item 10, Mayor's Report, leading up to the financial year.
I've got a copy.
Obviously, there's not a lot that's going on. We've got a little bit coming up, but not a lot going on at the moment. So we had a couple of cross-border commissioner meetings, obviously, when the borders were closed. Again, there are... an informative way for us to get ahead of the public health order and understand what impacts the public health order does have on our residents. And thankfully that whilst there was some impost in the first probably 7 days of getting in and around regional Victoria, sense prevailed again and it just went back to the border bubble. And now obviously... that has been lifted again through the public health order, and hopefully we don't see it closed again through the winter. And if we can get through the winter without any closures, then I think the rest of the year will look positively. On Friday, I've got 3 or 4 items with the new CEO that I've done. Obviously, we had a phone hookup before Karina arrived. Obviously, out of that, we did some councillor videos for our introductory workshops to prospective councillors. And when Karina arrived, before she started, I had a meeting with her as well. And yesterday we went on a Shire-wide tour for a couple of hours, just showing Karina around the Shire. And I usually wouldn't do. I'm going to give it up, but we went and had a look inside the Tokemoor Museum. And I did say to Matt not to tell you two blokes, but...
Just going around the corner and I saw you coming off.
I knew there'd be prying eyes, that's why I was giving it up.
Well, I only was in town 5 minutes and it was reported to me, Mr. Bennett.
Yeah, well, there you go. So
it's still empty, just letting you know there's nothing in there much.
I knew I'd pull the right rein by giving it up. However... Well, I opened the door and I went, wow. And he went, that's the reaction I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Matt was a little bit flat when we first got there, I reckon.
Yes, he was.
And then once he got in, and because it's obviously been a long mental strain on him, there's some things there that we need to do to accommodate what's going forward. But once he started showing us around, the old Matt was back and his enthusiasm and, yeah. It's going to be pretty amazing.
He's already talking extensions.
Yeah, he's already talking, extensions. So anyway, hopefully, he said hopefully by the end of July, a soft opening.
Yeah.
So just some of the, and I don't really want to steal the thunder of what's in there, but it's going to be, I asked how long conservative do you think, you would spend in the place. And he said, look, if you just briskly walk through there, he said probably an hour. Mm. He said if you went through it, read everything, went in and had a coffee, did whatever else you want to do, have a beer or however you want to socialise, probably 3 hours. So that's a pretty good capture of an audience. And as we know, and the reason why we've supported these things in our communities is if we can get them for that length of time, they're more likely to stay the night and then go and look at something else the next day. So.
Great. Similar time frame to the depot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Denny.
Yeah. Yeah. So, look, as I said, I went, wow. I don't know, Karina, the
space, how he's organised it will be, and it feeds people through quite nicely. Like if you go to the auto museum, like up in South Australia, how they make you go through a particular path. That's actually really good because it means that people sort of have to do the whole thing. They can't just wander off and do half of it, if that makes sense. So it does keep them there for a bit longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From the first time.
Mr. Mayor, you said Matt was a bit flat.
Yeah.
He's probably tired. He probably wouldn't do it.
Do we need to sort of keep talking to him formally on a weekly or fortnightly basis or something? Does he need something?
He did bring to our attention some things that he needed, and I believe that they will be adhered to in the short term. So like any development, like he's just crunching numbers all day and ideas and stuff. And
he was a little worried about what it looked like outside as presented, so that people want to go in. That
can be addressed though, can't it?
Yeah, exactly.
As an ongoing thing.
We've got 4 weeks to finish off some of the stuff. We said we'd do, and
we'll get it done.
Yeah. If I can add just one thing, going back to Murray Regional Tourism Board and the Tokemoor Aerodrome Museum, one of the initiatives of Murray Regional Tourism Board has been a business inspiration program to mentor new businesses, especially new tourism businesses, and Matt's business has been one of those that's been selected for mentoring. So
that, and look, I don't think we can lose the significance. I know that neither of them are open yet, but the significance of that facility and then the foreshore building and whatever other developments are going on in Tokemoor or Shire-wide is, the microbrewery as well, so they're going to, like, it's going to be, there's some exciting times coming.
He's actively trying to. He would have some of the microbrewery stuff there, and they would have some of his coffee stuff. They're trying to actively link. Yeah.
Is the microbrewery a goer?
Will be.
Yeah, it will be.
It will be.
Yeah.
They're another business that's on that Murray Regional Tourism Board.
business inspiration mentoring program too. Okay.
So yeah, it's nice. It was nice to hear that he wasn't just thinking about
just
that business, but how he keeps people here a little bit longer to go to the other one.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah.
So.
From the first time that I met Matt a couple of years or more ago, it was pretty clear he wasn't a fiddler.
Oh, no, he's not a fiddler.
No, there's no edges there. It's the whole thing.
He's definitely can do. He's definitely not, So, look, as I said again, it's going to be amazing, and Berrigan Shire is going to be on the map. There's no two worries about that. And especially with the air show coming up, like, he's going to get that kick that he needs for a new business that we've talked about. And if we can get people to come through Tokemoor out to there, then they're going to have to go back the same way, aren't they, pretty much?
Yeah.
Or they're going to have to go to Baruga, or they're going to have to cut back through Finlay. So there's going to be a flow-on effect to Auckland. That's all my report is. So somebody like to remove that? Thanks, Councillor Glanville, Councillor Jones. All those in favour, against, carried. I'll start. I might go around for the left.
Well, I haven't really got any delegates.
Oh, that's okay.
I might have some
delegates. Yeah, well, we know the order, don't we? Councillor Glanville?
Mr. Member, my only meeting this month was on the 20th. Oh, last month was the 27th, and I had a zone library meeting in Wagga.
Now, is the... you got somebody to take over the portfolio of international travel and public libraries for when you do retire?
Gee, I tell you what, if I was going to be living close, I'd have kept going to those meetings.
Just as an independent?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Righto, cool. So, Councillor Reynoldson?
At the MDBA meeting the other day, it was all about community resilience. Actually, it was probably one of the better ones we had.
Yeah, okay.
So that all should be coming to an end soon, I would have thought.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I haven't heard.
Because that was a pilot program for 8 weeks, wasn't it?
It was supposed to be for 6 months. We're well over that now.
Yeah, okay, good.
We haven't mentioned about finishing it, so.
Yeah, okay. Are they actually listening?
They're actually listening, but I don't think they know who to tell.
Yeah, righto. That's
I can't imagine too much is going to... Like, I've done a few of these sort of things, and so I can't see where it's going. There'll be another report written, but, I mean, it's been a bit disappointing with the numbers. Like, you know, we're supposed to have 20, and I think by last meeting there was about 4.
Yeah.
You know, they're just not...
And that's the biggest problem.
And it's 4 farmers. Like, we started with a few business people.
Yeah.
And they fell by the wayside after the first week.
Yeah.
And it was only farmers or directly related irrigators were left. So we weren't getting much of that socio-economic sort of stuff.
And the concept, when they started it, you know, they started in the middle of harvest, which was difficult to start with, and then start of harvest.
Well, that was last meeting, and we were still sowing. So.
Yeah, and then obviously... It's pretty hard for all those different forums in the water debate to have anyone involved other than farmers. Mm. Like businesses, as you said, they'll come in and come out, but generally they're going back to work their business because water does directly have an impact on their business. They're not directly involved in it.
But all the people who have, you know, the ones that are running, they all know the issues.
Yeah, of course.
You know, they'll tell them all, but they all know them or tweak them a little bit. But like I said, what's going to happen with this report? Was it 58 reports on the Murray Basin last year? Well, this is number 59. Well, who's going to read it? But even this resilient bloke was really, he said that, you know, he was quite accurate. He said the politicians don't care one iota.
No.
So how that's going to change? So anyway.
No, you just got to keep in there and keep at it. Councillor Taylor?
No, nothing.
Councillor Bodie?
On the Tuesday the 8th, I went to the Chamber of Commerce meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they're facing a dilemma in Tokemoor. The leadership of the chamber, I think, has lost a lot of support. I think the information centre that they signed a 6-year lease on
6 years,
is
you're serious?
In danger. They had... the Gail Horan, person who was organising and holding it together, has retired. Last week they lost 4 volunteers. Their ability to keep it open is very limited. It's a little bit political within the group, and I think it's the sort of scenario is it's going to hit the wall before very long, and time will tell if it gets rebuilt or not.
We might get something better out of the ashes.
Hey?
We might get something better out of the ashes.
Yes, yes, yes. The feeling of the volunteers, and I spoke to the volunteers in the last couple of months, was that the Chamber of Commerce told them that they were moving to that building, the railway building. They were not consulted, and their opinion is that they should be in the new building in the small space that was talked about earlier in the piece. However, that's a challenge for the Chamber to overcome, and I think it's unfortunate that it's come to this, but yeah.
Was there going to be any other outcome? That's
out of,
what I'd...
out of every fire, something might be rebuilt.
Yeah, there may well, but there was no other outcome that was going to happen to this.
I think that's not unreasonable comment, but nevertheless, it's only just it's got to run its course, I guess.
Hmm.
On the 15th of May. Colin and I went to Wentworth to the Murray-Darling Association conference.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I didn't
we,
bring
it
up.
On that, we went over, drove over on the Sunday. On the Monday, we spent from 7 o'clock till 7 o'clock on a tour of the Menindee Lakes, which was extraordinarily interesting and enlightening. We had Rob Rendell, who is an independent consultant to the MDBA, come and talk to the Region 2 meeting 2 years ago, Cole, thereabouts. And his always rings in my mind on what he said. He said, there are five lots of people in the Murray-Darling Basin. He said they're the Lower Lakes people who are all happy because they've got all the water that they need. There are the Riverland people who are happy because they have all the water that they need. There are the below the choke people who are happy because they get all the water that they need. There are the northern water harvesters who seemingly at this point in time are happy because they get all that they need. There are the people above the choke who were penalised because they've had to contribute everything and their livelihood and their economics to the MDBA plan. But we learned that the Lower Darling people are in as big a dilemma as we are.
Worse.
Because the MDBA just uses it as a storage puddle and empties it when they feel like it.
Mm.
And of course, when it gets down to 40%, we get no water. So the one thing to me that came out of that was with all the basin communities, we have an ally in the Lower Darling people because they're penalised as well as us. One would argue that we are the recipients of more penal colonies than anyone else. But yeah, that was the interesting part of that tour to the Menindee Lakes. The conference is a conference, and as Cole said on the way home, the bureaucratic organisations and bureaucrats that stand up there and talk about themselves and how good a job they do, and the rest of people have to wear it. So the conference, in essence, was challenging. We have a Region 2 meeting here at 2 o'clock. But be that said, that it's an organisation that we could not be a member of, but maybe we should be a member of it for no other reason than we should be, Roger. But I sort of agree with a lot of your comments. What was interesting was Wentworth Shire Council, Ken Ross is the CEO. and we had a couple of discussions with him, and they recently got $8.4 million grant to build an airport. They had a gravel strip, and it's sealed, and it's got its wonderful thing. I don't know as there's any airplanes landed on it since it's been finished 2 months ago, but nevertheless, they've got it. And but they got $8.4 million, and their contribution on top of that was $700,000. And I said to Ken, I said, how do you get $8.4 million and you only got to give $700,000? And he said, oh, he said, we work hard on it. He said, we go to Sydney as often as we need to. And he said, the mayor, who was Susan somebody, was quite a nice person, said that she talks to the politicians and I talk to the bureaucrats, and between us we work pretty well. And he said, we're remote, we have quite an Indigenous input.
Remoteness and Indigenous, that's how they get the grant.
And they work politically.
Yeah.
What that told me was that Berrigan Council, I think, needs to work harder politically to get what we need and to get more than what we need. Mind you, we get lots of things now, but it still doesn't... I think politics is where it's at. That's what we got to do. It was interesting talking to Ken that he said the Willowbend Caravan Park is right on the edge of the town, on the edge of the Murray and the Darling where it joins. It's been run under super poor management for the last 10 years. The council has bought the caravan park. They right on the water's edge, that's right, not a $5 exercise.
Mm-hmm.
They intend to refurbish it and re-infrastructure it, and then they will lease it when it's up to a certain standard. So that was a pretty good story, I thought, of council working proactively. They are also looking at establishing the Wentworth Astronomy Park, because as they have pretty clear skies in Wentworth, that's what their project is. But they're very proactive in what they did and how hard they worked for what they get. And I understand, Karina, that one of the things that I read about you at one stage was that what I got out of it was that you are good to working politically for your share. And that's what I got out of your CV, quite frankly. And I think we need to go to a next level. We're not really at a level. We haven't been political. But we need to lobby, and we need to become more conversant, more friendly, more you're my mate, suck up, call it what you like, with our politicians.
Yeah, no, we want first.
I don't disagree with any of that, but if we look at the last 6 years, we haven't had to be.
We've done that well.
We haven't had to be.
No.
We did get $1 million out of Gladys to politically.
Look.
And I'm just saying that I know you've got some projects that you would like to see, you know, expedited. Which would may well, you know, be something you're talking about. Definitely, you know, once we're into that position, I don't know about Karina, but I'm happy to bang as many doors as we need to bang.
We've got a lot of things and things done. I just think that we need to be more politically and better politically connected, because you don't know what tomorrow brings.
No, 100%.
And we need to do that as a council.
But Wentworth now have got $8.4 million airport that they can fly straight from Wentworth to Sydney.
They don't have
that's right.
I need
to
put you on to Dennis Trodwell, mate. I need to give you Dennis Trodwell's email address.
That's right. But that was the enlightening
The enlightening story of the Murray-Darling Conference was Staunton and Kenross for me, and the Menindee Lake story.
Yeah, cool.
So you got nothing out of the, you actually got nothing out of the MDA.
No, nothing.
Mate?
You had nothing out of the MDA. So it was.
It's all about relationship building, Councillor Reynoldson. It's all about networking.
Well, that's all about agitating. That's absolutely correct. It's not what you. It's not what you hear in the conference. It's what you get out of the conference.
Correct.
And the conference is not the people who attend, not perhaps what they say.
So when we go to Elgar next week or Sunday, we'll make sure we tap as many prime. ScoMo's there. I've been threatening to get him here for the last 3 or 4 years. I'm going to him now. So if he's there, I'm going to. I might do what they did to the French president, but I'll wheel up and see if I can run over his toe for you.
I try and extend my list if that's going to be the case.
Yeah, right. You extend it. All right.
That's all I've got.
All good. Well, have you got anything for general business? Oh, business arising. Sorry.
I did the BDDA too when she mentioned the chamber, but there was nothing exciting like Ross's there.
You got anything for business arising?
Yes, business arising. I see fixing local roads round 3 is up. Yes, has that just opened? I saw it on one of these things that we get, emails that we get from LGA.
New South Wales, yep. From Linda?
Hey?
From Linda at LG New South Wales?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Local or rural was it? Local. Local roads.
I believe it was local roads from what I read. It was a week ago that I read it.
Yep.
It is.
Where did we come to with the new building lease? Because we talked about it a couple of weeks ago.
Okay. So you want an update on how we're going getting tenants for the new building?
Yeah.
Okay. So Merrin and myself have met with Andrew Jenkins, who we've commissioned to find and manage the tenants on our behalf. We met with him last week. We are looking to commission someone to do some good 3D renders of the space, because unfortunately photography's it was still a work site, so it's hard to take good photos of what the space is going to look like. So we're sort of going on a 3D plan. So that work is underway now. We've got the price from Andrew Jenkins to operate it. Merrin, Keelan and myself with Karina are working on a marketing plan to run side by side with a listing on commercial real estate, which Andrew Jenkins will organise. The marketing plan will include obviously social media. We'll try and get some editorial and some trade publications and see how we go from there. Merrin's been in touch with a few restaurateurs in the area and around to see if they knew anyone who might be interested in coming in. We're starting to get some phone calls now from local restaurants looking to relocate. We're now directing them towards Andrew Jenkins to handle their inquiries. So things are happening. We are looking to have something out into the marketplace very soon.
Okay.
I'm working with our solicitors to get leases drawn up for the four spaces.
Yep. Just on social media advertising, I would like to see the council spend some money on sponsored ads, because in that way you can get into Melbourne. In no other financial way can you get into Melbourne.
Agree.
But and that way you can. So,
and that's one of the items we've already discussed is, we'll pay for some sponsored ads to get in there. Keelan, who's our communications officer, comes from a marketing background with Channel 7, so she's got some experience.
Fair enough. Now,
Just on that one, where are we up to on the building? Do they get extensions on it? Because it was all supposed to be done by the end of the month, wasn't it?
We're given an extension to, I think, the 11th of August. There's been all the requests for extension of time at this stage. I'm unsure of what the latest lockdown in Victoria, Melbourne would have caused for them, but it couldn't be much. So I think it's about the 11th of August, the contractual completion date, if I recall correctly.
Somebody needs to stand on the contractor's foot to prevent another extension.
Yes, we can.
Is it at lock-up stage yet?
It's got the bottom story windows in over the weekend, I seen got put in, so...
I drove past here last Tuesday, there was nobody on site.
Mm.
Beautiful day, anyway.
I wouldn't... My last general business point. I would like to table this document, which is a little change from the one that I sent to the council the other day. On Tokyo car park extensions and revitalisation, Tom and I have come up with a plan, and I put it down in writing so that you can all be have a good look at it and at some point give you a look. It does involve commercial spaces. It's fairly self-explanatory when you read that. And for the councillors, I modified it a little bit, but I took point 8 out, which you might wonder what point 8 is, but you'll find out that when you have a look at the one that you looked at before. And I'd like to put it on the agenda for the next policy strategy meeting to have serious discussion about it. That's all.
That's all.
Finished.
Councillor Taylor.
I just wanted to put up that motion that we talked about earlier.
So do you want to read that out so that someone can...
Let me just get it. I think... you want to read it? I think it's written fairly clearly in the... document.
That the council staff be directed to commence a review of its LEP for the purposes of identifying future suitable land within the Shire boundaries for the following purposes. Is that, that's your recommendation?
Yeah. And it sort of, and it lists those.
Yes. Yeah, I won't read them all out at the moment. Yeah. But do you want to move that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Second, Councillor Bodie. Any discussion?
I think it's a good thing to be doing. So it's what we've been talking about for some time now.
Okay.
There's a few instances that have come up at near Baruga as well too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Very good. All right. All those in favour? Against? All right. Thank you. Sun's out now. Councillor Allison? Councillor Glanville? Councillor Jones, you said you had something?
Right. Now, I noticed there's been a grant received for the long-term... daycare setup.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So where is it actually going to go? That's my question.
On the same side it's on now.
Don't they need more space then?
Probably just need to reconfigure it. It's on a 45 degree angle, isn't it?
The kindergarten would have to be reconfigured too. Is that right?
I can't give you the exact details, sorry, but I can tell you it's on that same side. So that's Crown land for which council is the Crown land manager.
Yeah.
So we had to give permission to put the application in, so if it's going to go in any other ground...
There's a bit of land at the back that the fishing club have got that they don't really use, so I just wondered if...
Can I take that on notice, Councillor Jones? We'll get back to you with more information.
I don't know how much land they need, actually, for
a
playground area, perhaps. Yeah.
I need to talk to the preschool anyway, because I was obviously read today's paper that their plans are fairly well advanced. Now, that is on the building that they're proposing to build is on Crown land, for which the council is the Crown land manager. Council has a policy about capital works on community facilities. For any project over roughly $10,000, we want to at least have the option to project manage, so that if something goes wrong, we're not left as the people who actually control the land having to fix it. So we will need to talk to the Oakmore Preschool about how they propose to go about the project, and I would say that we would reserve the right as council to appoint a project manager to make sure that it gets done the way it needs to be done until such time as we as council had confidence that they had the necessary skills to complete the works.
Well, Either or to that is that either they employ somebody, the project manager, because we understand that preschools can't project manage buildings.
This is where we've been in the past, Mr. Mayor.
We're not going there again.
Mm. And that's what I'm saying. My understanding was, Mr. Mayor, that we had offered to project manage it for them pretty much in an in-kind basis. That's not what I read in the paper today, but that might just be the way it was written. If they want to employ a third party to project manage it, and we as council are comfortable with that, I wouldn't see why that would be an issue.
No, it would be strong recommendation that they have somebody project manage it other than just a builder.
Again, we've been on community building projects before where we've had to come in and address the ongoing issues. So that is just a matter of me or council making contact with the preschool.
Yeah, rather than just an email, I think that's a phone call.
Yeah, no, we need to actually meet with them on site. Now, Jo Ruffin has been the person they've been liaising with in the grant process. Now, she's away for 3 months, but Jo has pretty much done her part. Her part was to help them through the process to get funding. It's now moved on, and if we were the project manager, it would be something that perhaps Nathan O'Connell would do. So perhaps it's Matt Clark or myself or someone going down to with Nathan and having a chat about what they propose to do.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yeah. Now at the opposite end of the scale, the Tope Men Shed, I brought it up a couple of months ago about trying to get some funding. So club's grants haven't come up yet.
Right.
Now there's a Men Shed grant at the moment, you know, maximum of $8,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't know whether we can get it on the open yesterday. So I was just wondering if council could, if we could get that grant, if council could support us in the balance of that amount, which was $20,000. You mentioned it once before. We mentioned about possibility of clubs grants.
Yep.
And they haven't come up.
I haven't seen anything formally from.
Hmm?
I haven't seen anything formally from the Men's Shed in
Rome. No, well, they will write to you. We'll write.
The other point I would make to Councillor James is it's a lot easier if they write to us not
6 months out.
Not the week before we adopt our budget.
I know that. It'd be in next year.
No, the week after.
The week after. Yeah, that's the only thing. So just getting back to that conference, Troy Grant gave a closing address, which worried me a bit. He talked about the choke, and he said, one way or another, we're going to fix it. What's that mean? Put a channel around it or a pipeline. So that's what worries me. So dredging. I don't know what Michael's going to talk about this afternoon.
And yeah. Soil testing, apparently.
He was most aggressive about it too, you know, the way he just spoke.
Just on that BDO, why did you vote to have Menindi turned into a Ramsar site?
Oh, that wasn't a vote.
Well, that was in the report, unanimous it was.
Well, you better ask the boss this afternoon. Come to the meeting.
Anything else?
No.
Matt?
No, none for me, Mr. Mayor.
Do you want to just comment what we're going to do with the developers this morning? So from now on?
Yeah, so from going on now, we'll work with Ian, not Peter, because Ian is the applicant of the DA,
mm-hmm.
and we'll advise him of the process he's got to do for the variation.
Righto, cool. And that'll be done ASAP. Yeah. Yep, cool, awesome. Matt?
Two items actually. First item is, and my apologies not bringing this to the briefing session, but after the agenda was submitted, we received from Ramjo the list of the regional code of conduct panel reviewers. So our current code of conduct panel review panel expires. That's a bit of a tongue twister.
Mm.
Expires on 30 June 2021. So we need to appoint the new panel. Ramjo have done the work on. The expression of interest for new panel members, and that work has been done, and Ramjo have selected their panel. I would like to bring that panel for a formal adoption by the council to the extraordinary meeting holding next week to adopt the budget. What I need is a resolution to say from council to have that as an item on the extraordinary meeting next week. So we need to, even though Ramjo's done the work to select them, each council needs to actually resolve to appoint them individually. And it's important we do that because there has been cases where there have been code of conduct investigations being run in other councils and they've been successfully challenged on the basis that they weren't one of the code of conduct review panel members appointed by resolution. So
Fair enough. What was your second item?
So what I need is a resolution is to take that item, take the Code of Conduct Review Panel appointment to the extraordinary meeting to be held on the 23rd of June.
Somebody like to move that? Councillor Taylor, second. Councillor Glanville. All those in favour? Against? Carried. Thank you.
Just on the Code of Conduct, before I go further, the State Government has announced they're doing a review on the operations of the Code of Conduct and how it works, and they're looking for submissions. I'll bring an item to the Strategy and Policy Workshop with the details. That's literally just come over the desk on Friday as well.
Mm-hmm.
The other item is we're looking at holding an official opening for the Tokemal Aerodrome and the WAF Creek Walk. And if councils haven't seen the WAF Creek Walk sculpture, I highly recommend you do. It's a great outcome. Looking at holding an official opening in August 2021, which will be in the caretaker period, but you'll still be able to speak, Matt. You might just not be able to, Mr. Mayor, you just won't be able to commission for votes, but but yes, it's unfortunate timing, but if we delay too much longer, well, you're going to lose that impact. It's important we try and get that out.
Our last meeting's the